Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. Today we're going to have author Laurie Seltzer later in the show, but right now we have Everett Robert. He is a playwright and an actor, and he's going to be in our next production in Sherry's Playhouse, and he also wrote one of the plays. Welcome, Everett.
Hi, Sherry. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm fine. We are in the midst of rehearsal for our play. How do you think it's going?
I think it's going fantastic. We're having a great time, lots of fun, it's a great script.
And what do you think about O. Henry?
Oh, yeah, I'm having so much fun with their role. It's not what I expected, but I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, it's a fun play. It's very different from...
It's
go ahead.
Great.
What were you going to say?
I was going to agree with you. It's fun. It's different from what we've done before.
Why don't you tell the audience a little bit about your play, which is going to be the follow-up play to the O. Henry play?
Well, it's called Hashtag John Doe, so it's the pound sign, John Doe, all one word. And it's a great little play, I think, I hope. It's about a family drama with some comedic elements about a family that is has a week to find a mysterious and unknown fourth recipient to their father and grandfather's will. And if they don't find him, then none of them get the inheritance. But if they do find this mysterious fourth person, this John Doe, then they all get a share of a very large estate.
Sounds like a lot of fun. What gave you the inspiration for it?
You know, I had been working with that title, Hashtag John Doe, in a different play, and it wasn't coming together. And I just kind of was messing around, and I had this idea of, you know, where could I set a show? And I was thinking, unique and different. I was like, a lawyer's office, okay. What can we do in a lawyer's office? I was like, what kind of people would be involved in a will contest? And I've been reading some John Grisham and his new book, Grey Mountain, involves a will contest as well, so that was kind of on my mind. And so I had that kind of on the brain, and I was like, and I wanted to do something that kind of was indicative and it was kind of an indictment of reality television, because some of the characters in my play are reality TV stars. So I wanted to do something that kind of, you know, talks about our obsession with media and reality television and that sort of thing.
And how everybody wants to be a star.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of funny.
Yeah, it is. I put a lot of really fun humor in it, a lot of wordplay, that sort of thing. So,
what do you think of reality TV?
I am both a fan and not a fan.
It's hard to be a fan if you're an actor, though.
It is. It's very hard to be a fan if you're an actor. But I do have an appreciation for, like, the dance competition reality shows, the cooking competition reality shows, because they're doing stuff that is showcasing a skill, I guess I would say. But, you know, 12 people trapped in a house is not my idea of reality television. 12 people trapped on an island or whatever makes it difficult.
Well, the funny thing is that you get sucked in.
You do. It's very easy.
Yeah. And because I got sucked into a couple of shows basically because I was trying to fill my time when I lost my father, and I just wanted noise on. And at first, I just had it on as background noise while I was cleaning my apartment. But as time goes on, you kind of get sucked into the show. It's weird because that was the last thing I wanted.
Yeah.
Have you ever had that happen?
Oh, I have, most definitely. It always, you know, trying to get that noise that, you know, you're thinking, well, I'll just turn this on while I, like you said, clean my apartment or whatever. And then you're like, you hear, you know, someone throw a glass at somebody else or something. You're like, oh, I got to watch this. What's going on? And you just get drawn in and sucked into it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's what happened to me with Real Housewives. I had no interest in it, and then curiosity overwhelmed anything. At first, I told myself I was watching. It was New York that I started watching, and at first, I hadn't been to New York in years, and I thought, oh, I just want to see the places. But then I realized, no, that's not true.
I totally understand that, and I've been there too.
So this is not your first time at the rodeo for the Playhouse. What do you think of the concept? Are you enjoying it?
I love, Sherry's Playhouse. It's a great idea, to do. I mean, I know there's other podcasts that kind of do the same thing, but I don't know of any or very few that actually do it the way we do live on the air. I think that is exciting. It's a challenge, and it also gives that feel of live theater to people who maybe can't get to the live theater for whatever reason.
It's sort of like walking on a live wire across a stadium full of people and not knowing whether you're going to be shocked off or...
Yeah.
It's scary. It's exciting and scary at the same time.
Yeah.
And we've had stuff go wrong.
Oh, always.
You remember the first play we did was my play. It was called A Heavenly Hand. And at one point, one of the actors muted themselves. And
yes, I do remember that.
Like... no cue, and we're like, and so I did her, and then when she came, and I realized she was muted, she came back in. It was just, it actually worked. You wouldn't think it would, but it did.
And, you know, I don't think anyone would have realized that if, I know I didn't even pick up on it until you told me later, so.
Well, she did.
Oh, she knew, yeah.
But it's like the old days with live television. I can't remember what actor it was, but he was supposed to go off to check to see if someone was coming up, and someone had put a pie up there for later in the broadcast, and he actually stepped in the pie and had to go back onto the stage with a pie crust around his foot. You never know what's going to go on.
And that's kind of the exciting thing about live theater is I know I was doing a stage version of Dracula years ago, and I actually forgot my cue. I was sitting backstage, makeup table talking, and the stage manager comes running back. She goes, Everett, aren't you supposed to be on stage right now? I said a few choice words and ran as fast as I could. to make my cue, and I ran out, or I stopped just at the curtain, took a deep breath, and stepped out on stage and started delivering my lines. And we just decided that Renfield had a very large cell.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, theater is like that. I'm going back a long ways, but I was the prop mistress on this show when I was in high school, and there was a scene where it was for Harvey, and the guy who was playing the guy from the Crazy House, who was just standing there. He really didn't have much to do other than just stand there and look tough. The set, somehow, when the door opened for Harvey, because I was doing that part, I was opening the set.
Right.
Or I was Harvey. And when I opened the door, somehow one of the pegs got loose and the wall started to wiggle like it was going to fall.
Uh-huh.
So he's a really big, tall, strong guy, and he held it up until the end of the scene, until we had blackout, so we can get the peg in and get it fixed. Poor guy stood there for like about 30 minutes holding the damn flat up. I'll never forget it.
Yeah, I'm
and
right
I'm
in
like
the middle of
scrambling, running around. Where the hell is the technical guy?
I'm right in the middle of our what we call Hell Week for and I'm co-directing a musical here in my hometown. And last night in one of our final dress rehearsals, one of the scenes takes place in the courtroom. We've got these beautiful tall columns that stand behind our judges' table, and I don't know what happened, but one column fell and the other one fell, and I'm just sitting there up in the balcony just going, what I can do, I can't rain, you know, you just got to let them go in case this happens during performance.
It's just one of those things.
So, yeah, live theater can always, all sorts of interesting things can happen in live theater.
Yeah, it's one of the fun things about theater. As opposed to TV where they can yell, cut!
Yeah.
There's no cut! There's no second chance.
If somebody forgets a line, if they go up, if they break, if you know, there's all sorts of things that can happen in live theater that makes things exciting. I know I was doing a play, this would have been about 2 years ago, and the play I was doing with my brother and one of the other actors in O. Henry, Nathan Goodwin. And we were on an outdoor stage. And the wings, the wind down to the backstage area, the whole stage was in a wooden thing. And there was these wooden slats, ramps that ran down. And we were in cowboy boots. And I started running down. And it had been raining the night before. So on my back, jumped up and just kept going. So it's theater is always exciting.
It's one of the reasons that we do it, that adrenaline rush.
Yes, it is.
You know, I mean, we're all hooked on that. That there's two things about theater that drew me in. One was the hook of the audience. Rapport that you don't get any other way. And then the other thing is that rush of adrenaline that you get when you're on stage and you know you have to play the part and you don't know what's going to happen. And it's just addictive. It is. There's nothing like it in the world. It's better than a drug. Well, I've never taken drugs, but from what I understand, it's better than a drug. What do you think?
Oh, I completely agree. There's this amazing connection that happens when you're on stage and the audience is responding, the audience is laughing, there's nothing that can compare to this thrill, this surge, this jolt of electricity that happens. And I'm experiencing, you know, even from a director's standpoint too, when I'm sitting in the balcony and I hear people laughing or, you know, a curtain opens perfectly and the set's right, you know, everything's timed out perfectly and you hear that ooh or that ah, you know, there's just, there's nothing that really can compare to that.
Yeah, I know. It's just a wild feeling.
It is.
And we have such a great cast on, I lost the name of our play.
Sunday
O'Henry.
In the Park with O'Henry.
And the Sunday in the Park with O'Henry. It's been one of those mornings. We have such a great cast. We not only are they all wonderful actors, but we all get along so well. There's no ego. There's no issue. We're just having fun. And you can't say that all the time, but this is a great cast. What do you think?
We have one
of few of them with us.
Yes, it's a great show. It is a great cast. It's just so much fun. You know, we're having a great time, and I love the way that this play is structured with the three vignettes that it comprises of. Because it gives, well, me as O'Henry, I get the chance to hear everyone and work with all of our talented cast members.
Yeah.
Like, I know you don't get to work with Charlie, and Tony doesn't get to work with Junior, but I get to work with everybody. So it just makes the whole experience a lot of fun when you have a great cast that is extremely talented and works well together.
Yeah, and the thing is about our cast is that they are open to change. They listen to each other. Not just, you know, if they're not so drawn to their own part that they're not really paying attention. Everybody's on. Everybody's paying attention. And we give and take, and we give each other suggestions. It's not, I'm directing, and it's not just me being a dictator.
Mm-hmm.
It's a open forum. Anybody can say anything. I'm open to hearing about I'm acting this time. I'm open to hearing what I need to do too. So it's a very good group for, so I think the audience will enjoy it. At least I hope so. I mean, we've been working hard, so we're really hoping.
Uh-huh.
And this is the first time our playwright has worked with us. His name is Roy Proctor, and he's very talented, and he has two plays with us this season. And I'm very excited about both of them. What do you think?
I think it's great. I love hearing other people's works and getting to participate in new play like that. I haven't heard of before, so it makes me happy.
Yep, that's what I think too.
Yeah, it's like there's not a shortage of playwrights or plays in the U.S. And so when we get someone who's never worked with us before, who's new, who is talented as Roy is, it makes me happy as a fellow playwright.
Yeah, and the thing is that there's not a lot of places for new playwrights to do something on such an international scale because the platform that this is, Blog Talk Radio, is an international platform, and there isn't a lot of places that you can go and have yourself heard in New Zealand and Japan and know, all over the world. It's a really good opportunity for playwrights, for actors, everybody in the show. There's a lot to, it's not, and we have an international cast. We have people in England, we have people in New York, we have people in Kansas, we have people in L.A. and New Jersey, and in here in San Diego. It's just, and all our shows are like that. They're all international casts. They're all heard all over the place. And I think that's one of the fun things about doing this.
I totally agree.
And
it gives me as a playwright, as an actor, as a director, the chance to work with people that I wouldn't normally get to work with on such a intimate level.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we talk to each other and we're in different parts of the country and world and we're like, hi, how are you doing? What's been going on today? Da, 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 da.
Yeah.
It's like we're next door to one.
Right. It is. It's so much fun.
So if there's any playwrights or actors out there who want to take part, we still have plays coming up for the actors and for next season for the plays. So, and I'm very open to everybody. I have no qualm. I'm really more interested in talent than background.
Yes. Everybody gets to start someplace, and if you can act with your voice, if you can act, if you think, hey, this is something I'd like to try, we'd love to have you on. It's a great opportunity.
And the other thing that is really cool about the about acting on the show on radio is that you don't have to worry. You can be in shorts and a tank top, your hair a mess, no makeup for girls.
Yeah.
For guys, just be lazing around in just shorts and a shirt and not worry about how you look. And we don't have to worry about anything other than getting your voice there and performing the best of your ability. That's it. That's
exactly.
The only worry in your head. It's sort of cool.
Yeah.
But it might be more difficult for certain actors because there are actors who they don't even know what the character is until they wear the costume. For somebody like that, then it would be a little difficult. They'd have to, I guess, wear the costume at home.
I think it's more just getting into that character's headspace more than and sometimes the costume helps, but you know, sometimes, like, I, you know, found an old recording of O. Henry on YouTube, and that kind of helped me get into his head just listening to that, the way his voice inflected and that sort of thing. But just hearing his voice helped me get into his headspace.
And the other thing is that, like, last year when I did your play, Murder at Home, far from the character I played as I could possibly be. I'm not 20. I'm not a femme fatale, but that's what I play. And it was so much fun, and it was so freeing to be able to play a character like that, knowing I would never be cast in a play like that.
And you're
I don't like anything like it. Thank you. But you don't have to. It's not like Hollywood. You don't have to look the part. You just have to be able to convey it with your voice.
Uh-huh.
And that's something that's precious to me.
Yes. And I agree. It's very important to be, you can be age blind, you can be color blind, you can whatever blind when you're doing this kind of acting and directing and writing. You don't have to worry about, well, you know, so-and-so is shorter than this person and they need to be taller. It doesn't matter when it's just your voice.
Yeah, exactly. And the funny thing is that the characters that I have to explain, a lot of us are, well, the males are playing double characters. So they have to work whole different characters that you're playing three. So they have to play whole different characterizations with just their voice. And that takes talent. And they're all very good. They've all been working hard to do that. It's really funny because Tanya Carr, who plays the lead, basically, and myself, we just start playing our parts, and all the guys are just struggling with all these different characters. For once, the girls can just lean back and watch.
Yeah, it does make it difficult, especially when you go from different accents in a matter of seconds.
That's one thing about radio. You can have that silence for a minute.
Yeah.
You can give yourself a moment to do the transition. You don't have to fill the air because the audience is filling it in for you.
Mm-hmm.
As long as it's not like 5 minutes, we're fine.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Then I get crazy. Then I get crazy. Come on. Where are you?
I know you do.
1 minute,
not
2 minutes.
Even 5 minutes.
5 minutes. No, not so good. It's not just you, but I mean, if someone's late for a cue, I wait. And then if it's like 2 minutes, I'll go, like if it's you, I say, F.
Yeah.
Or whoever.
Yeah.
But it's difficult because we're all doing it vocally. It's all vocal.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
I know we keep emphasizing it, but it's so, you know, this was the norm for years. So that this is so different for us, I think is interesting.
It is, but it's really stretched me as an actor and my ability to act. So. And I think it's made me a better actor.
I think that's for everyone.
I mean,
we have a hell of a good cast. Everybody's a really good actor.
Yes, we do.
I think everyone has found facets of themselves that they didn't know was there.
Definitely.
From the youngest member to the oldest member, we're all growing as actors just by doing the radio show.
Yes, we are.
And it's fun. I really wasn't planning on directing and producing this and acting in this one, but it just kind of happened again.
And that happens. You know, you roll with the punches.
Yep. But, but I'm having fun, too.
Good.
So we only have about 2 minutes. Did you want to talk about, about your play and make your pitch for actors? Because we still need some more actors to fill in the characters.
Well, it's called Hashtag John Doe. It's a great show. It's one I'm very proud of. Quite a few female roles, and they're great, strong female roles. So we need ladies, we need guys, we need new people. It's fantastic. So come join our fun. You won't regret it.
And he's the director. I'm not directing this one. I'm just going to come back and I'll act in it, but I'm not directing.
And hopefully I won't have to act in it either. So we'll see, won't we?
Yeah, well, you never know. We may be. One thing about production that I didn't know before I started doing it, you get to the point where, okay, I got 4 people, 3 of them aren't showing. Okay, we'll go with them.
So, we really do encourage you to come join the fun. It is, you won't regret it. It is a lot of fun.
But on a second note, you do have to make a commitment just for the length of the play, which is about 6 weeks for the rehearsal before. So,
and it's usually 1 or 2 days of rehearsal time. So.
Right, and it's no more than an hour, but it's worth it because it makes the play 2,000 times better.
Yes, it does.
Because, I'm an actress. I know that we have to rehearse. So to just not do it and not rehearse is a foolish thing.
Yeah. I 100% agree.
Thank you. We're at the end.
Thank you
very much, Ev. I really appreciate it.
Not a problem. You have a great day.
Thank you, and thank you for chatting with Sherry.